Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's our good friend Matt Clement. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys this morning?
Excellent. Doing great. Let me ask you this. I'll give you the Hall of Fame ballot for this year and give you the number, any number of votes you want. Who are you putting in?
That's a tough call this year. And, you know, if it's a new person I might put a vote on, maybe a Mark Burley, maybe a Tim Hudson. And the only reason I'll say that is it's you know, if Curt Schilling looks like he's the guy that's getting in, and then if you look at their numbers, they're very similar without all the media talk that Schilling had. And I'll give Schilling this, the gigantic games he pitched in the postseason. You know, that's the big difference between those two and him. Now, am I putting those guys in this year? No. But we're in a new era of the Hall of Fame, right? When I was growing up and until the steroid era, if the steroid era did anything good, you started to get some players that were really good that wouldn't get considered because it used to be 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, 300 wins. You were a Hall of Famer. And then unless you were like Sandy Koufax or somebody ridiculous who had a shorter career that just had ridiculous stats that was a no-brainer, you weren't getting in. But you think about 2019, there goes Harold Baines and Lee Smith and 18, Alan Trammell and Jack Morris. So we're in that era, so you kind of got to look at it differently, in my opinion. You know, the two guys that, you know, and then you look at the ballot also and you just look at it and say, okay, steroids never happened. And you have Bonds, you have, you know, Clemens, you have Manny Ramirez, you have Sosa. Those are all like surefire, almost first ballot locks that have this controversy surrounding them. You know, and when is that threshold going to be where we let the steroid guys in, if they ever do? I don't know. You know, to me, definitely Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, obviously I don't condone what they did, and I had to compete against what they did. But their talent alone, and I've heard some interviews recently because this has come up, like Barry Bonds, when he was a Pirate, was a Hall of Famer before, and he might have been doing them when he was a Pirate. Who knows what actually happened. But his talent was Hall of Fame talent. So you can get in the argument, there's good guys in there and bad guys and guys that did this and that. So it's interesting. You know, I would say the one guy that's interesting to me is I kind of looked at that ballot and went over it is, you know, Andrew Jones, 434 homers, stayed out of trouble, was a winner with the Braves his whole career, and just like Gold Glove outfielder, you know, he was the standard for Gold Glove outfielding. So a guy that really I don't hear his name come up. He's on the ballot for the fourth time, I believe. And, you know, and I guess as I look at the pitchers like the Hudsons and Burleys, who I would love to see those guys get in because they were great pitchers that grinds out 200 wins and had great careers, when you compare them to Kershaw, Verlander, Scherzer, you know, Gerrit Cole, in my mind, those guys are so far ahead of them in what they've actually done that it really makes for interesting topics of conversation.
You know, Matt, I know you played with Manny Ramirez for a couple of years, and I went back and I tried to look real quick to see if you ever faced him, and the only thing I could find was I think you've pitched against the Red Sox once. Did you ever face Manny?
I faced Manny with the Marlins. And the one time I pitched in Fenway before I signed with the Red Sox, I don't think he did any damage against me. He was one of the real intimidating people that walked to the plate. I mean, and I think I might have said this on the show before. Like, you give me, I played with Tony Gwynn at the very, very end of his career, and so I didn't get to see Tony Gwynn in his prime. So I can't really include him. But people I played with, game on the line, and I need to win the World Series, I'm putting Manny Ramirez at the plate. One of the smartest hitters that I've ever been around, setting the pitcher up. And just, I mean, I enjoyed, I never missed an at-bat when Manny Ramirez, when I was playing with Manny Ramirez, just because you didn't know what he might be able to do in that at-bat. And I played with a lot of great hitters.
As he became a little more eccentric, I guess, is the best way to put it, towards the end of his career, Matt, do you think guys were almost belied by the fact that, oh, it's Manny, and he's kind of goofy and weird, and then he would step to the plate and he would still have that same hitter's mentality?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that I noticed with Manny was he didn't speak to the media, and he's one of the few people who didn't speak to the media, and nobody ever talked about it because he didn't want to speak to the media, and it wasn't because he hated them or anything else, and he did it, you know, the Manny being Manny was a real phrase, and I think that persona, you know, maybe sometimes they don't take as seriously the player he was, like kind of how it ended with, you know, he had the, when he went to LA, he had that great year. Then he kind of faded off quick. He tried to play in Japan, I think, a couple times, and you know, kind of hanging on. And I don't know if people, because of some of the outfield hijinks that he had, where he was, you know, going to the bathroom in the Green Monster when a pitching change happened, they had to wait for him, or cutting off Johnny Damon's throw home from left field as the relay guy and on a dive, and some goofy plays he made, I think, overshadowed the great player that he was. And he really was a hard worker, and he really was a good defender. He just made one or two plays that, like, made SportsCenter's bloopers, or Shaq in the Four, or whatever you want to call it, that every year that made people think that he was a goofball. But just a tremendous hitter.
You know, another guy that he's on the ballot, too, and he's a friend of ours. We had him on last week's A.J. Burnett. And your paths crossed early on in actually both of your careers, right?
Yeah, when he was young with the Marlins, that was my 1 year with the Marlins. And, you know, and AJ, you know, another, you're looking at it now, and I think that some of these names we've brought up, Hall of Fame-wise, were names that would never be thought of before. And I think that's the good thing that the steroid era actually did, is, you know, these guys are deserving great to the game, and there was just always this, you know, they kept this stigma on the Hall of Fame that you had to have these certain accolades, and you know, I looked at his numbers. His numbers are, you know, right in the mix with some of these other guys that are being considered in today's era. And, you know, and you know, AJ was, well, I mean, AJ, I pitched with AJ and Beckett and Brad Penny and Florida. And you want to talk about three just tremendous young arms that all had great careers. And they really did have great careers that are, sometimes people don't realize how good their careers were.
Former Major League pitcher Matt Clement with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Let's go in this direction, because you watch all the games, and we were talking earlier about the I guess it's a tired old cliche. Maybe it's not. Maybe it still holds up. Defense winning championships. And when we look at the top two teams in the AFC in particular, Matt, there's quite clearly the Steelers and the Chiefs, and then everybody else on a bit of a second tier and below. Is this a case of, there's the one quarterback in the league that everybody holds up on a pedestal, but the Steelers are the defense that can finally contain him? And can the defense still win a championship in this day and age in the NFL?
Well, it seems like the defense does show up, and that is the thing that happens at the end in the playoffs at some point. A defense does slow down the high-powered offense at some point. And I think it's more, you know, the Steelers are the team. Obviously, they're the better team right now than the Chiefs. But they are the team that has the defense that can slow Mahomes down. But I think that, like, to me, I think that there's kind of an aura when you walk in to play the Chiefs right now, whether it's in Kansas City or they come to your place, of Mahomes being on the other sideline and Andy Reid being this offensive genius and Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and Hardman and Hilaire and all these weapons that are running around on the field. And I think the thing the Steelers have, even more so in the defense, is, like, if you have Ben, it's not going to be overwhelmed when he looks across the sideline at Mahomes. And I think that from my standpoint, that's the big thing the Steelers have, along with the defense that can withstand that. There's not going to be an overwhelmed moment, or how are we going to get by, or can we hang around this game? That's going to be a belief walking into the game, because I mean the things that Ben's been through in his career and the Super Bowls and everything else, and I feel like there's too much being made also of the you can't win without a running game. I feel like in today's NFL, you look last night. I mean, Goff, he was on pace. I didn't look at the final numbers to break the. He was going to break the completion record for Monday Night Football with 40 completions. He had like 35 with 10 minutes to go in the game last night. Everybody's just replacing the short passing game with the running game, and there's really a whole lot of difference. There was 41 rushing yards in that game last night, and midway through the fourth quarter, and then there's a couple decent rushes. I bet they ended with like less than 75. So the Steelers, I mean, Ben had 32 completions on Sunday in a blowout, and that's just the new NFL, and they're using all these different, you know, jet sweeps where they pass in the front. That's like a run. The little screen passes, the Deontay Johnson, why wouldn't you? If he can get open 5 yards down the field and get you the free five, why would you kill the middle of the field? And it's not like the Steelers can't run with James Conner. You know, they can. I think the formula, though, that's out there to beat the Chiefs is kind of like the Raiders both times. They've kind of tried to control the game with Jacobs, play action pass, throw deep. So I think people are going to say that what team can kind of hold them down, slow them down, which the Raiders have done, and then basically, you know, hit the ball and hit the long ball and play defense against them.
You know, he finished with 39 completions, by the way. I just looked it up. Well past my bedtime, too. But, Matt, how do you watch as a Steeler fan? How do you watch games? And by that I mean, okay, you're an athlete. I mean, you played professional sports. You have that even-keeled attitude as an athlete. You had to have that when you played. Do you have that same attitude when you're a fan, or are you like a lot of other people where you see, oh, man, the Jaguars are just getting 3 first downs and they're rolling down the field and they can't stop Robinson? What's your mentality like when you watch games?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty even keel for the most part because I'm watching a lot of the games at the same time. But, you know, I just – there's the Titans game, the Steelers-Titans game, or the Ravens game, those games are a lot different. These other games, even Dallas, even Jacksonville, they kind of hung around early in that game. You know, to me, just didn't pose a threat to the Steelers. And you could just see it's the better team that's in control, that knows what's going on, and you kind of know the result. You know, if you go through their schedule, and it's kind of been like, you know, they had a couple blowouts with the Bengals. You had the excitement of playing the Browns, and that ended about 1 minute into the game when they destroyed Mayfield and were up, you know, a lot of points. So their games have been interesting, and you know, I guess. The other team, like the Steelers, that you know, the Titans defense is kind of banged up right now. That's another team that could, you know, I kind of think it's fascinating. Like who could rain on this parade of this Chiefs Steelers AFC championship? And, you know, somebody like the Titans with Derrick Henry, you know, they proved last year they could go on a run. And I think another team, kind of in my mind, is you just never can count out the Ravens. You know, they look bad right now, but we know from this division that switch can flip at any time, and there's enough talent on that roster that they can always pose a threat to either of those teams.
Matt, great stuff as always. We love catching up with you. Thanks for being flexible and doing it a day early on a short week with everything going on. Enjoy Thanksgiving, however you do decide to enjoy it, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Sounds good. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Right, Matt Clement, former Major League pitcher, joins us every week here on the Fan Morning Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.